to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. We have heard the resurrection story read. We have heard it explained. And we have heard it made practical in our lives. So what more is there to say? We could go on all day long and all of next week, and we still wouldn't have it all covered of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the title of the message this morning, The Resurrection of Christ. Do we tire of hearing it, of reading it? No, I'm sure we don't. I need some help this morning. I need four people to lead singing, lead some songs. Who wants to volunteer? All right, Jonathan? These are all in the Christian hymnal, number 114, when I call for it. Who next? Jeff? Number 113. Who's next? Oh, got two all at the same time. Aaron, I have down for the for closing song, number 510. You want to lead that one? And actually, I only had three. I thought I had four. And Conrad, 126. All right, we're going to be looking at a number of scriptures. Most of them I'm not going to turn to. I didn't count them up, but I probably have 30 references down here. And so if we turn to them all, that would be all we would get done. But what do we think of when we think of the resurrection? What is the importance of the resurrection? Some questions for us to think about. What is involved in Jesus' resurrection? How does it help us? Ralph has already alluded to that and showed us some, given us some examples. The question was asked in the Sunday school, what about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David? What do they have to do with the resurrection? What is involved with the resurrection? Why is it that there are more people in church today than there is any other day of the year? Brother Melvin Schrock got up one Easter Sunday morning and he began his sermon like this: I'm glad there's not anybody else here. Meaning that the ones that were there are the ones that are normally there, and there aren't those who only come to church on Easter Sunday. I was in a number of several stores this week, and it was, have a good Easter. Well, I appreciate that. Not have the opportunity, really, to say, well, I'm going to be talking about the resurrection on Sunday morning. That's the theme of the Sunday service, is the resurrection. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. Where is it written about Jesus that he was going to be crucified? That reference is in Matthew 26. And we go through the Psalms, we go through Isaiah, just have been reading in Isaiah. And there's numerous references in these books in the Old Testament that are pointing forward to the day that Jesus was going to be crucified and going to rise from the dead. To be crucified was not uncommon. Many people, the Romans crucified many people. There was three the same day, the day that Jesus was crucified. Two of them deserved it, but the third one didn't. One of them found his way to heaven that day, and the other one didn't, along with Jesus. And so why the crucifixion was not anything unknown. It was very real and experienced very many times. But the resurrection, nobody had ever heard of it. Nobody had ever heard of a body being put in the grave and being there for 3 days. And all of a sudden, it's not there anymore. The stone, which was, the Bible says, was large, was rolled away when the women came there to see it, to anoint the body of Jesus. But how are we going to get in? How is it going to work? Let's sing number 114. Number 114, Christian hymnal.
Midnight and on olive's brow, the star is dim that lately shone. Tis midnight in the garden now, the suffering Savior praise alone. Tis midnight and from all removed the Savior wrestles long with thee. That disciple who he loved, not his master's grief and tears. Tis midnight and from others guilt man of sorrows weeps in blood, yet he who hath in anguish knelt is not forsaken by his midnight, and from either blames it for the song that angels know.
This was not an emotional experience for Christ. Yes, it was an emotional. It was emotional, but it was not something that just gave him a lot of power and strength to go through this experience in the garden. As he was there battling with Satan, as Satan was trying one last time to defeat him, and defeat the purpose of God to bringing salvation to mankind. There we find Jesus weeping, as it were, shedding sweat as blood. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We hear that read every time we have communion, I think. The blood of Jesus was shed for one purpose, and that is to bring salvation to mankind. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and I shall presently give more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus could have, he is saying here, he could have averted this. He could have taken another route. He could have called for 12 legions of angels to come and destroy that Roman army in a moment's notice, and he could have gone free. But that wasn't the plan. That wasn't the desire that he had to call upon that. His desire was to go through death in this humiliating way so that we can have peace. But how shall the scriptures be fulfilled if I call for 12 legions of angels? How will this Old Testament be fulfilled? How will the call of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees have any purpose if that plan cannot go on through and bring salvation to mankind? The question was asked, Jesus, art thou the Christ? I am, he answered. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Not only am I the Christ, not only am I here today, not only am I on trial. I believe this was Caiaphas maybe that asked that question. But not only is that what's going on here today, but you are going to see me coming in the clouds of heaven. You are going to see me sitting in the judgment seat the last day. In John 18 and verse 36 says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is from hence. My kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. And it doesn't matter if Peter takes the sword and cuts off the servant of the high priest's ear. It doesn't matter that we go out and fight a physical battle. That is not what his kingdom is about. His kingdom is a kingdom of love. His kingdom is a kingdom that will bring future into our lives and that we can continue on walking with him. But the crowd was saying, crucify him, crucify him, do away with him, give us Barabbas. We've heard a little about that already. That horrible thought that I'd rather have a murderer and I'm running in our midst than a savior, one who is able to give me peace and rest, one who can walk with us and understand us. We'd rather have a murderer. That's what the disciples, or the enemies of Christ were saying. Those who should have known, those who had understood the scriptures, those who had studied the scriptures, but they said, don't do away with him. Let's sing number 113.
When I survey the love of Christ's cross, which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for contempt on my pride. For his feet. Sorrow and love commingled down. It is such love and sorrow meet. O'er thorns composed so rich a crown.
I survey the wondrous cross, when I study it, when I meditate on it, when I think about what all took place on that cross, for me, it's only gain. It's only that which gives me strength for today. For the third verse, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Sorrow and love together. Sorrow of heart, but love for others. Did e'er such love and sorrow or thorns compose a richer crown? In John 19, verse 11, it says, Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin. Pilate, you really don't have any power. Pilate says, I could condemn you or I could release you. But Jesus says, you're powerless. Unless God allows you to do that, you would not be able to do it. There's nothing you could do. Luke 23:28 says, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Listen, that mob was still yelling out, crucify him, crucify him. That was their desire to do away with him. He was causing havoc with them. They thought. But that sorrow and love was flowing from his veins, flowing from his heart to show them there is peace. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were out there, they had nailed him to the cross. They were just sitting there waiting for him to die, that cruel, long death. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I give it to you. It is yours. Even though I thirst, yet I'm here for a purpose. The purpose is the love of God, and that it may show forth to all the world. And finally, he said, it is finished. What was finished? What was finished? All of the prophecies of the Old Testament were completed right there at that moment as he took his last breath. The desire of God before he created man, before he created the world, was that there would be a way, that there would be a people who could and would voluntarily serve him. It was finished. Right there. It was done. That way was made available for them. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I came with one purpose, with one aim, one goal, and that is to present truth so that people could hear the voice of life and could go on into life and walk with God and live for Him. Lift your glad voices in triumph on high. For Jesus hath risen, and man shall not die. Does this sound familiar? Did we sing that song this morning? Did we? Boys, did you sing that song? No? Let's just read that a little bit and think about it a little bit more, what this song is telling us. Lift your glad voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen, and man shall not die. Because Jesus rose from the grave, rose from that tomb, we don't need to die. Our bodies will die and be put in the grave. Probably someday there'll be a casket set up here, and my body will be in it. You won't hear any more words from me, but I'm not going to die. Vain were the terrors that gathered around him, and short the dominion of death and the grave. He, Jesus, burst from the fetters of darkness that bound him, resplendent in glory to live and to save. Loud was the chorus of angels on high, "The Savior hath risen, man shall not die." Glory to God in the full anthems of joy. And the being he gave us, death cannot destroy. Sad were the life we may part with tomorrow, if tears were our birthright and death were our end. How sad of a life we would live if all we had was tears and death to look forward to. Read a story yesterday of a man who had worked all his life. He was a workaholic, you might say. And on his deathbed, his neighbor come to talk to him and to see him. And his wife said, "He's been saying that he's getting another paycheck." And he reached over and he grabbed something that was not there. And he said, "There's my paycheck. For all of my life, death." And with that, he closed his eyes and was gone. Holding in his hand that piece of paper that was not there, death. That's all Satan has to offer. But Jesus has life. But Jesus has cheered us the dark valley of sorrow, and bade us immortal to heaven to ascend. Lift then your voices with triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen, and man shall not die. There's only one way we can have life, and that is through the resurrection of Jesus. He is not here. He is risen. The angels told the women, "Why are you seeking the dead among the living among the dead?" Jesus said, that was the wrong thing. "What manner of communications are these that you have one with another and are sad?" On those that were on their way to Emmaus. And Jesus came and joined up with them and started talking about the things that had taken place. Why? Why are you sad? They weren't sad anymore when they realized who it was. He was alive. Jesus told Thomas, when Thomas said, "I can't believe, I can't believe. I don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead." And when he was with the others and Jesus came into that room, he looked at Thomas and he says, "Put your hands in my hands. Look at my that scar on my side where that soldier pierced it with his spear. Check out my feet. See if it's me." What was Thomas's response? "My Lord and my God." Are we seeing his hands, his side, and his feet today and giving that response? "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." It was written in the Old Testament. Why was Jonah in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights? Why was he? Because of his own sin, right? But it was also a pointing forward to Jesus being in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. "Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed." He told Thomas that. There were very few people who saw Jesus after the resurrection in his physical body. But there are very many more of us who have seen him through the scriptures, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives, in cleansing us and washing us and making us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he said, "Blessed are you, Pine Grove Mennonite Church, blessed are you when you see Jesus and believe. Lovest thou me more than these?" he asked Peter. When Peter denied him three times, and Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me more than these?" Do we love him more than that paycheck that man I read about yesterday? Do we love him more than anything else that this world has to offer? He has everything for us. "That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." There are missions. We know people that are out all over the world teaching the gospel. There's literature that's going out from our circles and publishing houses all over the world like it's never been before. There's help being given to people who are suffering because of sin all over the world like it's never been before. There's open doors. There's closed countries, but aid is being taken in because they are so poor they need it. And with it goes the gospel. That which Jesus did so that these lives in communist countries and other places can hear the word of God. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And you see Jesus out there on a hill with his disciples, with his hands up in the air and telling them to go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's sing number 126. Number 126.
peace with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I beheld him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him
got a glimpse of heaven out there in the Isle of Patmos when he was sent out there to die because they could not kill him any other way. Put him out there on that island alone. And there we get the book of Revelation. As he was out there and he saw that vision of heaven, of Jesus, face to face, I shall behold him. We're longing for that day when we can go home. What rejoicing in his presence when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain, when everything is clear, out of this life into heaven. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." It's up to us if we want to see Jesus face to face. It is our choice. It is our decision. It is our with a great desire that we might have that we will be able to see him as a friend. He says in Revelation 22 and verse 12, I am the first and the last. He created. He recreated. He made it possible for us to have peace. And he will be our judge. He will be the one who says, welcome into the presence of the Lord, or I don't know you. Chapter 22 and verse 20, John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for you. I'm desiring you to come. And yes, we can say yes. Anybody would be desiring that if you were out there on an island all alone to die of starvation and of thirst. But can we say that today? Even so come, Lord Jesus. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Jesus, hiding my soul from Satan, from the darts of the evil one who is trying to destroy us and take us down to the pit of hell. We can be victorious. We can have hope, and we can have eternal life because of the day that we call Easter. And there's no Easter bunnies involved. There's no eggs involved. There's nothing fun involved. It was pain. It was sorrow on Jesus' part to go through that death experience. But to resurrect from the grave was victorious. It was joyful. And we have it today as our God, as we walk with him and as we listen to him. Shall we kneel together for prayer?